Wonderful Holy Spirit, we welcome your awesome presence in revealing your word to our hearts for this hour. And Father, I thank you for releasing a mighty anointing upon your people as they listen to your word for such a time as this. God, I give you glory for doing it now in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus. Our lesson going to come very unorthodox today, because normally the Lord will give me a text from a scripture, which I'm going to deal with a lot of scriptures on tonight. But the title of this lesson, what does the Bible say about self? We want to explore the Word of God today to see what the Bible has to say about self. There's so many teachings today in our world, and just to name a few, some teach on how to be a millionaire. Some teach on church growth. Some teach on starting businesses. And all of that is fine and well. But you hear very little on what I feel is a needed topic in this day. And that's the teaching on self. This message will come to those of us in the body of Christ for the purpose of us, I'm going to kind of touch on one of the words, examining ourselves. Self. What does the Bible say about self? The Bible talks about everything that has to do with man. Spiritually, materially, physically, emotionally, as well as financially. As a matter of fact, in the book of 3 John, listen to this. In 3 John, verses 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Notice that. John said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper. Watch this. Physical. And be in health. Physical. Notice. May prosper materially and be in health. Physical health. Even as thy soul prosper. Spiritual prosperity. So, basically, material prosperity, physical prosperity, and spiritual. But spiritual prosperity must come before physical and material prosperity. The purpose of God sending us His Word is to educate us, to inform us, to enlighten us, to reveal to us what we did not know. And then God waits to see what we are going to do with the word He has just sent to us. Remember, God watches over His word to perform it, or to do in us what He said if we do what He said. I think you got it. All right. So let's explore and find out what the Bible has to say about self. The first on the list that the Bible talks about is found in James chapter 4 verse 10 and 1 Peter 5 verse 6. Humble ourselves. The word humble means not having a high opinion of oneself. Having a feeling of insignificance. Keeping a level head. The word teaches us to humble ourselves. Because if we don't, then God has a way or ways to do it. And it won't be pleasing. Now in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Notice that. Humble yourself. It didn't say God was going to do it. But if we fail to humble ourselves, if we fail to not have a high opinion of ourselves, keeping a level head, regardless of what God do in your life, regardless of what God may bless you to get in life, never become braggadocious, because life is not over. Always keep a level head about yourself. And like this, see, God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. So the first word we're looking at is humbling yourself. Number two, in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 28, and in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, the next word we're dealing with is examine ourselves. The word examine means to look at closely, to observe carefully or critically, to analyze. The word teaches us to look at ourselves and not at others. And when we spend time examining ourselves, we won't have time to look at no one else. So the second word we're dealing with is examine ourselves. Observe yourself. Analyze yourself. Get in a mirror. If you want to talk about somebody, look at the person in the mirror and talk about them, he or she. Whether you're a woman or you're a man, if ever you have a need to want to talk about somebody, stand in front of a mirror and talk about the person you see in the mirror. And quit shutting your eyes to stuff you see about yourself and deal with what's wrong in your life. Examine yourself. Now I'm giving you a scripture on this. I know this is a very unorthodox teaching, because I know you're accustomed to me calling out a scripture, but I just feel the Holy Spirit has just given this to me about self, dealing with self. We could deal with other people, but we don't want to deal with ourselves. We can see fault in other people, but we can't see fault in ourselves. All right, the third word. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31. Judge ourselves. The word judge means to form an opinion or evaluation, to pass sentence on. The word teaches us to judge ourselves and not to judge others. And when we fail to evaluate ourselves, God will, and rest assured, it won't make you break dance, but it will break you down. See, we're good at judging other people. Somebody make a mistake, we become the judge and the jury. We become the hanging judge and the sad jury. We want to kill them and crucify them. But like I said, get a mirror. All unrighteousness is sin. Get that. All wrongdoing is sin. There's no little sin. There's no big sin. There's no white lie. There's no blue lie. There's no black lie. A lie is a lie. Period. Okay, so we need to judge ourselves. So thus far, the Bible teach us to humble ourselves, to examine ourselves. Now to judge ourselves. Let's move on. St. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24. Deny ourselves. The word deny, listen to this. The word deny means to refrain from satisfying one's desires or wants. The word teaches us to deny ourselves of things that we want and desire in order to follow Jesus. Many things we have can be a hinder, stumbling block, as well as a distraction in following Jesus. So we must deny and refrain from them if we plan on continuing to follow Jesus. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Note the word. If you're choosing to follow him, we have to deny, refrain from what satisfies you. Many things we cannot have as being Christians, as being saints. Listen, because you're saved, it doesn't mean God gonna give you everything you want. God ain't no Santa Claus, and there ain't no such thing as no Santa Claus. So let's put this foolishness out right now. Everything we asking God for, he's not going to do it per se like we think. God ain't promised to make us millionaires. No. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, so Jesus is saying, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Notice, not deny your uncle, not deny your uncle potato, cousin tomato, cousin cantaloupe, or pico head. No, deny yourself. A lot of things we want and like in this life as saints, we cannot have if we're going to follow Jesus. Amen. Jesus said it, Matthew 16, verses 24. What we're dealing with, if you just tuned in, we're dealing with what does the Bible say about self. And thus far, every scripture I've given to us is probably making your flesh crawl because your flesh don't want to hear this. We so accustomed to messages to make us jump up and down, run like somebody behind us. We fall out, be covered up with sheets. We do somersaults like we're in the circus. And then after all that's done and well, we still ain't living nothing. So what we're dealing with today is, what does the Bible teach you and I as a believer about self? Because get this, saint of God, hear this and hear this with your spirit. Your biggest hinder is not the devil, but it's yourself. You didn't catch that. Yes, the devil is the enemy of our soul, but yourself is your greatest enemy. What you want can become your greatest enemy. Self. We become selfish. So we're dealing with, what does the Bible say about self? We dealt with humbling yourself, examine ourselves, judge ourselves, deny ourselves. Stay tuned for part two as we continue with what does the Bible say about self. In continuing our teaching on what does the Bible say about self, we dealt with humbling ourselves in James 4 verses 10, 1 Peter 5 verse 6. Then we dealt with examine ourselves, 1 Corinthians 11, 28, 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. We dealt with judging ourselves, 1 Corinthians 11 verse 31. We dealt with denying ourselves, Matthew 16 verse 24. Now moving on, let's go to James 4 verse 7. Submit ourselves. Now this is a powerful word here, submit. The word submit means to yield to the power or authority of another. To surrender to the will of another. To place oneself under the control of another. The word teaches us to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. But listen to this. But God won't make you and I yield to him or surrender to him. We must see the need to do this. And when we do, we won't give place to the enemy using us or influencing us to do us wrong. I got to read this again. Submit ourselves. The word submit means to yield to the power or authority of another. And let's face it, folks, we got a problem submitting to authority. You have kids today have a problem submitting to their parents. You got kids have problems submitting to teachers in school. And then in a marriage, you got the wife have problems submitting to the husband. And then vice versa. We as a people just have this nature in us. We don't want to be told nothing by nobody. Well, look at it like this here. If we expect to be a leader over people, they used to tell me, a good leader is really a good follower. You got to be able to follow people before you can lead people. And if you cannot submit to authority, if you cannot submit to somebody over you, and oftentimes, I would say in the secular world, people have trouble submitting to a woman that may be in a position over them. A lot of men can't submit to a woman boss. They feel like she's feminine, you know, she whatever. But the bottom line, it's not whether she's a woman or whatever, she's feminine. The problem is submission. And see, that's like a sign of rebellion that's in us as humans. When you got problems submitting to leadership, that's a sign of rebellion. And listen to this good. We must submit to God. Listen to this. If you and I are not submitting to leadership on your job, if you're not submitting to the teacher in the school, in actuality, you're not submitting to God. Because they're like heads of authority. And if you're rebelling against the teacher, if you're rebelling against your parents, you're actually rebelling against God. Because remember, God is the one that exalts. Promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He put down one and he set up another. So people can be over you in a secular world, but God watches to see if you are submitting to the leadership, yet they might not be saved. But when it comes down to the work that you're under, if you've been given an assignment to do on your job, yet your supervisor might not know Christ, you must submit and do what you're told to do on the job. Now when it goes against the work and is dealing with principles that has to affect your personal life, that's a different story. But if your boss is a woman or man, tell you, well, I want you to do dust and dust, and you don't do it, and it's in line with work, you're rebelling against authority. So in actuality, you're not submitted to God. I hope you caught that. So you see, submitting ourselves. We want people to submit to us, but we don't want to submit to nobody. That won't work. Let that one soak in. Yeah. Submit yourself. You must submit to leadership. You'll never be a leader if you can't submit to leaders. If you can't be told nothing, you can't tell nobody nothing. Oh, wow. That's amazing. If you don't want people to tell you nothing, nobody will hear what you have to say. It's real simple. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 22, and Ephesians 6:10. The next word is strengthen ourselves. Now, this is another powerful word. Strengthen ourselves. The word strengthen means to make strong, to increase the strength of, to gain strength. If this was not possible, the Holy Spirit would not have allowed this to be recorded. And for too long, listen to this, we have been asking God to strengthen us. God strengthen me. God strengthen me. When He has given us what we need to strengthen ourselves. Now, let me bring some balance here. This is not to say we're not to depend on God. No. Yes, you must pray every day as a believer. You seek God, as David said in Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Watch. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. How do you think God strengthened you as a believer? You think God just always reaches his hand down and touch you? No. God will lead you to His Word. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more of the Word you're getting, that's the stronger you're becoming. Why? Look at it from the natural. If your physical body is hungry, if your stomach is growling, and you do not put food in your stomach, strength cannot be distributed from your stomach to the rest of your body. So from the physical standpoint, you have to take in food in order to strengthen your physical body. Same way it is spiritually. You have to take in the Word. Come on, talk to me here. You must take in the Word, hearing the Word, reading the Word, meditating upon the Word, if you expect to get strength and stay strong and keep going. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. and in the power of His might. So the question comes, how do we actually get strength? We get strength when we're looking to God in prayer. Get this now. But notice, you must strengthen yourself by doing what it takes to get the strength. Don't misunderstand it now. God just don't strengthen you just to be doing it. You have not because you ask not. So if we're not praying and in the Word, how can God give you strength? Plus, if you're not doing nothing with the strength you got, why do you need God to strengthen you some more? To do nothing? God don't strengthen you to warm no bench. God don't strengthen you to stay home. Why in the world? God anoint me. God strengthen me. You come to church late and you leave early. God ain't going to strengthen you for that. God strengthen you for service for His kingdom. When you're doing kingdom work and not church work, then God gives you the strength. Watch this now. God revives your spirit, man. But you're doing something to cause God to do what He's doing. So that's the balance there. You have a part and God has a part. Your part is to pray and to read the Word. God's part is to take what you're doing, that the Word you hide in your heart, and God energizes that Word that you're putting there. God ain't gonna open His Bible, His Word. He ain't gonna flip the pages for you. You got to take your Bible off the shelf, knock the dust off it, open it up, and begin to read it, and read it until the Holy Spirit reveals to you what you're reading. Hear that good? That's how strength comes about. You don't get strength from doing nothing. If you don't eat from the physical, you're going to get weak. So from the spiritual standpoint, you cannot get strength if you're not doing nothing to get strength. Jesus here. All right, let me move on here. In 1 Kings 17:3, the next word is hide ourselves. What you mean, hide yourself? The word hide means to prevent one from being seen or discovered. To put in a place where one cannot be seen or easily found. The Word teaches us to hide ourselves. But what or who are we hiding from? We're hiding from the world, from the wrong company. And when we are hiding, we can seek God without distraction. God knows if we are looking for Him. And if the world is drawing our attention, then we must hide, lock up with God, steal away where it's quiet, and seek God until the taste for the world is out of our system and the hunger for the Word consumes us. Oh, I like this. I got to make part three of this message, people. Hide ourselves, because I see my time is almost running out with this one. I got to read this again. I don't want to rush with this. Hide ourselves. The word hide means to prevent from being seen or discovered. To put in a place where one cannot be seen or easily found. The word teaches us to hide ourselves. But what or who are we hiding from? Now remember, you can't hide from God. There's no place on the earth that we cannot be found by God. For the eyes of the Lord on every place, beholding the evil and the good. We are hiding from the world, from the wrong company, and when we are hiding, we can seek God, watch this, without distraction. God knows if we are looking for Him. And if the world is drawing our attention, then we must hide. We must get away from what's drawing our attention from God, people. Lock up with God. Steal away where it's quiet and seek God. And listen, it takes time to seek God. You can't rush when it comes down to God visiting you and blessing you and answering you. And seek God until the taste for the world is out of our system and the hunger for the Word consumes us. What I need to make part three of this message of what does the Bible have to say about self? Stay tuned for part three. Saving us. In continuing our teaching on what does the Bible have to say about self, Let me just kind of summarize this right quick, because this is part three, and we're going to conclude this message in this particular tape, I think. First of all, we deal with humbling ourselves. Then we deal with examining ourselves. We deal with judging ourselves. We deal with denying ourselves. We deal with submitting ourselves. We deal with strengthening ourselves. And I really hope you heard in part two of how we go about strengthening ourselves. And it's not leaving God out. This is not teaching you to become independent from God. That would be erroneous. But so that you can have balance in this lesson and you can understand, God does not just strengthen you just to be doing it. It's something you're doing to cause God to do what He's doing in you, to you, with you, and for you. If a person does not eat, as I brought out in part two, if you do not eat from the physical, your physical body will be affected. I remember when Saul was on the road to Damascus, to make a long story short, and he met Jesus, and he was blinded for 3 days. The Bible spoke how when he received meat, he was strengthened. Notice, when he received food, his physical body became strong. Why? He had to take something in. Even the prophet Elijah, then you say, rise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he rose and ate, and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights. What's the point? He went in the strength of the food he ate. Notice, Elijah had to take in order to get strengthened. What is the point? If you're not taking in the word, if you're not praying, you cannot be strengthened. So, you're depending on God to do something you could be doing. God has a part and we have a part. Understand that. We have a part to play and God has a part. God's part is to do what we can't do. Our part is to do what we can. We can study His word. We can read His word. We can meditate in the word. We can seek Him through prayer. And then, when we're waiting before God, as Isaiah say, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Renew means to change. God changes your strength for the circumstance He know you're going to be facing. But notice how God changes your strength for what you're going to be facing. You're waiting before Him. And you're not waiting idly. You're waiting with an expectation because of what you're doing before God. I think you got it now. So strengthen ourselves. Then we deal with hide ourselves. And I like this one. Hide means to prevent one from being seen or discovered. To put in a place where one cannot be seen or easily found. The word teaches us to hide ourselves. Now I know what's probably coming in your mind when Adam hid from God. No, now catch this now. Adam was hiding from God because he did wrong. Hiding here is when we getting away from whatever it is that's pulling us away from God so that we can do what's right. Adam hid because he sinned. But hiding here denotes we're going to get away from whatever it is that's pulling me away, whether it's too much TV, it's too much radio, it's too much pleasure. You must hide and prevent yourself from being found. Sometimes too much company ain't no good. Always at somebody's house, they're always at your house. No, you need to get in God's house. Oh, let me move on here. See, the word teaches us to hide ourselves. But what or who are we hiding from? We are hiding from the world, from the wrong company, and there are many folk you need to hide from. And when we are hiding, we can seek God without distraction. Listen, God knows if we are looking for Him. And if the world is drawing our attention, then we must hide, lock up with God, steal away where it's quiet, and seek God until the taste for the world is out of our system and the hunger for the word consumes us. When we get hungry, God does not send an angel down and fix us something to eat. Did you not know that? Or when you need water, does God send an angel down and they go to the cabinet, take out a glass and turn on a faucet and fill a glass with water and bring it to you? What's the point? There are many things that we can do for ourselves, as I said earlier. And we are so foolish to think that God will do a lot of things for us when He is waiting on us. This is not saying that we are not to look to Him, by no means. But what it is saying is that we don't have many things simply because we lack knowledge or knowing what our part is and what God's part is. So to summarize this, we won't become strong in God until we hide ourselves with God. We won't hide ourselves with God until we submit ourselves to God. We won't submit ourselves to God until we deny ourselves or what we want. We won't deny ourselves or what we want until we judge ourselves as we should. We won't judge ourselves as we should until we stop examining others and start examining ourselves. And we won't examine ourselves until we humble ourselves. So as we close, in Hebrews 6:1, it talks about leaving the elementary stages of Christianity and going on to perfection. The word perfection means maturity, growing up, becoming seasoned, developed, and well-versed, becoming adult. And this is what God desires for us as His people, to grow up so He can use us to reach the lost. God cannot use immature, ignorant, unaware, or uninformed individuals to help those who are ignorant. He needs those who will apply themselves, study His Word, seek Him, fast, live right, come out from the world, give, and not wait for Him to do for them what they can do for themselves. So if and when we grasp what the Word says about self, listen to this good, then we will become vessels of honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use. The Bible teaches us about self. It's the reason. Nothing is in the Bible just to be there. Everything is there for to teach you and I. According to Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning. So it's to teach you and I. Self, humble yourself, examine yourself, judge yourself, deny yourself, submit yourself, strengthen yourself, hide yourself. All of that's the reason. And that shows you that we have something to do as believers, as saints of God, and God has something to do. We humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift us up. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. God exalts you, but you must humble yourself. See how it works? See? You submit yourself to God. You deny yourself. If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are condemned with the world. If you examine yourself, God won't have to do it. So the point of the matter is, if we're going to be used by God in this day to bring in this harvest, because understand something, there are people outside the body of Christ looking at the church. And sad to say, a lot of things that they're seeing and hearing is turning many of them off, and it's like giving them grounds to say, you see, that's why I'm not saved. Because look at what's happening in so-called churches. So-called minister. Look at what's taking place. So it's like the enemy is saying, you see, there's no use in you giving your life to Christ, because all of them like that. The devil is a liar. God always keeps a remnant in spite of what's going on in the world. Understand this. In spite of people, whatever. People come, people go. But Jesus never fails. I got to say this again. People come, people go. There's failure in all flesh. but there's no failure in Jesus. A good parent will do a lot for their kids because they know their kids don't know. But when their kids start to grow up, a lot of things they will stop doing because they realize that their kids can now do for themselves. But if a parent continues to do for their kids things that they can be doing for themselves, that parent will ruin that child's life and have them dependent on them for life. And when that parent leaves this life, that kid will not know how to make it in this life. I think you got the point. There are a lot of things that God will not do for us, but He has made it known in His Word what we ought to do for ourselves. And once we understand that if we don't do what we can do for ourselves, we cannot blame God if things are not happening in our lives as we hope they would. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for making us aware of truth that can change our life. Father, help us to understand what you are saying to us. And open our eyes that we may see. Father, deliver me. And set me free, first of all, from whatever would prevent me from humbling, examining, judging, denying, submitting, and hiding myself, so I can be strong in you and be a vessel of honor, fit for your use in this last day. And Father, in Jesus' name, I desire to know you more. And God, I pray that those that's listening to this message, whose hearts you have touched through the spoken word, answer their prayers, I pray. And bring us all to this place of awareness and awakening of what the Bible has to say about self. And God, use us in this last and evil day to bring the harvest into your kingdom. This I pray, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, what does the Bible say about self?